Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, and continuing on the theme of preaching on of hope and peace and joy, and today preaching on love, and also our Christmas Eve service. I hope you'll come and be a part of it. I hope I won't shock you too much, but I'll be wearing my robe on Christmas Eve. That'll make Amy really happy. She likes it when I dress up a little bit more. You too, okay. Yeah, I used to wear a suit and tie every Sunday, and I used to wear a robe every Sunday, but things are different, it seems like, these days. But Luke chapter 2, and especially since COVID, it kind of feels like it changed things. But Luke chapter 2, and beginning at verse 8, and this is the story concerning the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. And amen. How many of you like milk? Several of you, yeah. Me too. I like milk, whole milk preferred, but I drink 2%. But I like it really, really cold. I mean, not icy, but cold. I'm almost right there, you know. And if it's, you know, you get it right from the grocery store, it's not, you know, cold or as cold as it should be. And so one time I had, you know, it was right after going to the grocery store, and I poured myself a glass of milk and just took that first swallow, and it's just like, it's not cold enough. You know, and I didn't want to wait, so I thought, well, let me just get a few cubes of ice and put in it. Maybe some of you have done this before too. And then I took a drink of what I thought was going to be really cold milk. No, it wasn't cold. That ice had melted enough in it, and it had changed the complexity of that milk, that makeup of that milk. It no longer tasted like milk. It tasted just, yeah, you know, it's like it ruined it. It ruined it. And so I just had to throw that milk out, you know, and which was very disappointing to me. Y'all, you have to keep in mind, you know, I've been kind of withholding drinking a lot of milk, you know, and trying to watch my diet somewhat. But my family will joke with me. There's this milk festival that takes place in Wisconsin. And they have kidded me about taking a vacation there. So they have a place where you can drink all the milk you want for free. They have little, you know, places where you can just get all kinds of milk, chocolate milk, whole milk, all those type of things. And drink. Do what now? He'll go with me. That road trip.
I do not want to be in that car.
All right. All right. You didn't have to go there. All right. So anyways, it ruined it. We talk about the love of God in the church. But our culture and our world has changed what love is. Wrongly so. They've diluted it to where it's not what love is truly supposed to be. And it's something to be thrown out. And we have to work harder as a church to explain and understand what the true love of God is. What true love is. The scriptures tell us God is love. Not God is of love. God is love. Everything about God is that true agape. Yeah, I'm using a big word there. Agape, self-sacrificing love that doesn't require anything in return in order to receive that love. But you know, as a parent or a grandparent, when you love your children and your grandchildren, do you want them to rebuff you and just turn their back on you? No, you want to receive that love in return, don't you? You want to feel that embrace of that hug. You want to hear the words, I love you, Daddy. I love you, Mommy. You want to hear that return of love, don't you? So does God. But He has loved you and me first so that we could even know to return that love to Him. Our word, the word love, has been distorted in our culture. Love is sometimes associated to behaviors. Yet love is not that. Yet the secular world or our non-traditional Christian or the non-traditional Christian viewpoint wants to say that love is associated with acceptance of any and every behavior except for the traditional or conservative viewpoint. Now, I even included in this the non-traditional Christian viewpoint because it is even within the church itself that social justice issues have displaced the good news of Jesus Christ and His love to something that is just about agreeing with people and their ideas, no matter how absurd it may be. And drawing that correlation of love as an acceptance of somebody's personhood, no matter how they may behave or not, or act or not. Now, this is true somewhat of God's love. God loves us. And that love is not based on our actions, good or bad. God loves us. You know, if someone were to say, I love that painting, or I love those stained glass windows, or I love that turkey and dressing at Thanksgiving, or I love shrimp and grits, or I love to water ski, or I love to play basketball. I love watching the Georgia Bulldogs win. We could say all kinds of things like that. It changes the word love, though, because those things aren't really love. They're like. It's not love. Do y'all remember Sally Field, who was the Smokey and the Bandit? Some of you remember that movie? Somebody mentioned to me while I was preaching at Bethlehem, and they mentioned some other things that Sally Field was in. I forgot she was the Flying Nun. Yeah, I didn't grow up watching that, but I recall seeing some things on that, that she had the habit, or, you know, that went out like this, and she could fly, the Flying Nun. But she won an award, one of those big television production awards, and she, huh?
Oscar.
What?
The Oscar.
The Oscar, okay.
Best Actress.
Yes, I didn't know that, so. Anyway, she won an award. She was just so elated, so excited. I remember watching it, and she got up there and holding her award and just thinking, y'all like me. Y'all really, really? And she used the word, not love, but like. Y'all really, really like me. She understood the difference. You see, I don't know anything about her faith or non-faith or anything like that. I don't know. She could be, you know, a huge Christian person. I just don't know this. But she understood the difference between like and love. You know, you can like something, you can dislike it. It doesn't mean you don't love, you see. Love is a bigger thing, isn't it? And she got it right. The birth of Jesus, you see, is the story of God's love to us all. Sometimes people will confuse love with approval. If God loves us first, before we even knew love, and we are filled with sin, it's not based on our good works, you see. Love is based on God's exercise and fruition of love to us, regardless of who we are, what we've done, good or bad, and our circumstances. God's love is God's love. For example, a father to his children at night and surrounding their prayers would often say this: Does daddy love you? This wasn't me, but it's somebody who did this with their children. Does daddy love you because you played baseball well or you hit a home run today? And the kids would go, no. Does daddy love you because you got good grades in school, or you made an A in math today? And the kids would respond, because he'd been teaching them this, and they'd go, no. Well, why does daddy love you? Daddy loves you because you're mine. You're my child. And they understood that and went, yes, that's why daddy loves us, because we are your children. God loves us because we are his children. The reason that Jesus is born into this world isn't an act of man, but it is the act of God to love us. And because you are his child. That's why Jesus came to this earth as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. It is the epitome of his love. There is no greater love. He gave us the gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. See, how do we know that God loves us? How do we know? And just to look at this, God's love is extended and the announcement is given to these shepherds. They're considered the lowly, the lowest part of the totem pole, so to speak. They're not the high priests. They're not the politicians of the day, the rulers. They're not the movers and the shakers. And they are living on the outskirts of the town because their job is a dirty job. But it is an important job as well. And they hear the announcement from the angel. And let me just ask you, if you were out in the field tending to your flock by night, so to speak, and an angel appeared to you and started talking to you, would you give it attention? Absolutely. And then a host of angels who began to speak and sing in unison. And when I say host, I don't mean there were 10 to 15 angels that were in attention there. That means about 10,000 plus angels, maybe even 100,000 angels that just filled the sky. And they heard the voice that was coming from heaven through these angels and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." This is the evidence of God's love, folks. Some of you are deer hunters, aren't you? Well, how do you know where to hunt deer? What do you look for?
Look for signs.
You look for signs. You look for signs of where they've been brushing up against trees, where they've been rooting, where their tracks are. Where their scat is, okay, all that kind of stuff. And you look for those signs and you look for pathways in which they are. And these are signs that you know that deer are in the area. And if I go and I am there, I probably will see, you know, over a period of time, I'll see a deer there that, you know, that I can hunt. Now, I'm not a hunter. I've only been once in my life. I love to fish. I do that. Where do you find fish? Always in the water, folks. It's easy to find. But this is the sign God gives us, folks. It is as easy as saying, "Where do you find fish? Always in the water." Where do you find the love of God? This will be a sign to you. It's simple. The birth of Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, Mary and Joseph, they went to a house, but there was no room in the inn. That inn represents that family room. And so the birth of Jesus took place in a lower room of that very house because there was no other room in that home. And the lower room was where the animals were and where the feeding trough was and where maybe a cow was or a sheep or some other animals. And that's where Joseph and Mary... You know, you hear here recently that people have wanted to equate Mary and Joseph and the birth of Jesus as if they were refugees. No, they weren't refugees. They were going to the town of Bethlehem where they were supposed to go because that was the house and lineage of Joseph, you see. And they were going there to be taxed, and then they would return home after that. Now, they might have become refugees about 3 years later when Herod sought to kill every three-year-old male from a certain time, and they went, the Lord shared with them to escape that. But then they eventually came back. No, they're not refugees. Listen, I want you to hear that. Because what God does is intentional and purpose-filled. Where is Jesus born?
Town.
Bethlehem. Yes. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. What's in Bethlehem? Don't answer. I'll answer it for you. What's in Bethlehem? Shepherds watching sheep. Why are there shepherds there watching sheep? Because, now, there were other places where shepherds were and sheep there, but Bethlehem was known for the place where the sacrifice of young little lambs would be given into Jerusalem as sacrifice for the sins of the people upon the altar. Why is Jesus born in Bethlehem? Because he would become that unblemished little lamb, vulnerable little lamb, unable to really take care of themselves. And he would grow up to be that sacrifice for the sins of every human person upon this earth. And God did so because he loves you and me. It's quite simply that. It's just as easy as that. This is the sign that God loves you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the story of God's love. And it has nothing to do with the way that the culture has described what love is. It has everything to do with how the Bible describes and the act of God is described in what love is. So we're never going to increase our salvation through our acts, through the things that we do. And we're not going to destroy our salvation or think, some people may say, how can God love me? I've been such a bad person in my life. That's the whole point, folks, is God loves you because you're his child. Accept that you're a child and draw close to him. And know that even as we realize that, there's nothing that we can say or do that will increase our salvation. It is already full and present. His love is not somehow diminished. His love is somehow not complete. It is complete. And all we have to do is recognize that this birth of Jesus is the complete love of God for us, and the hope and the promise and the fulfillment of his love through the cross, his death, and his resurrection. And we believe his coming again for final victory and judgment. And we will be placed before God as all people, and we will be judged through this simple gift of love that is Jesus. Come in, good and faithful servant, simply because we have received his love and have sought to do as the shepherds even. They returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We don't need any other sign, folks. The sign has already come. It's already present. The birth has already happened. and the impressions in that feeding trough were where Jesus lay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your love. Help us to define love in our lives as you have defined it for us, and not as the world seeks for us to define it. Heavenly Father, help us to recognize this Christmas season your true love and your true gift to us in the birth of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is, as in John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, is God. Amen.